AT Mobile.
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear me, Matthew.
Here. No problem. Good morning, Patrick.
Doing good, Matthew. I'm in the black hole, but I can't hardly make out what you're saying. I just barely caught your call sign.
You're getting in better. This is, I'm going Highway 11. I'm not sure if I get in 285 from this position anyway.
Black hole, and the other guys will be here any minute. Ken usually gets here about 5:35, so just hang out until he gets here, and then I'll be back here when I get to the state line. KO4HK.
KN4TFW Mobile.
Catch you all a bit. Good morning. Was that Ken? I caught the tail end of it. WW4JET here.
MW4FCM, morning, guys.
Morning, Fred. Good morning, Matthew.
How you doing this morning?
You're here. 46 degrees in Greer.
Me over there. I got 37 over here and clear. But at least it's not smoky.
I'll get to you.
A little scary. I got down about half a mile as the crow flies, you know, just in the camp across the highway. And, That was close enough, let me tell you.
That one ain't a lot you can do once you get started like that.
W2JKT Mobile.
AN4TFW.
How are you going this morning?
Here, no traffic yet.
And Matthew here, WW4JET.
Matthew?
Came in a few minutes ago to one of my oddball mornings, and I'm going in this direction, but good to talk to you again. How you doing?
I'm in range and coming up on my breakfast stop here in a second on my way into work this morning, so going to be fun times in the office today.
He's lined up. I'd rather you beat me than have to sit in a meeting.
Yeah, some interesting and unprecedented times we're living in. But anyway, I'm hopping off here at 90 to grab my my breakfast. So I'll be back in about 10 minutes. This is WTUJKT.
Yeah, fire thing. That was, we had an odd day, like, midweek that week when it got really bad, and the winds got real squirrely and they shifted around, and we started seeing smoke coming up the backside of the property, you know, the opposite direction from where the fire was that we were looking at, you know, behind us. And it got pretty nerve-wracking for a few minutes until we figured out it was the wind playing games with us, pushing it down and coming up across the highway and up the other side. It was pretty crazy. So it was a couple nights where I didn't know if we were going to be there still or not. But Patrick, Shane could tell you more about that if he hasn't already. I'm sure he had to leave his area.
He lived up by there, close to Mike. And that KK4NXE, I know they got close to their house.
Unfortunate thing, and obviously could have been avoided. And it is what it is. But I guess on the one side, I guess it probably helped burn some of the excess fuel that was created by the hurricane. So if you call that a bright side.
We were doing a little short hike up there at Paris Mountain, and dang, you wouldn't hardly be able to walk through the woods with all the trees down for, you know what I mean, if you didn't have those already made trails.
In certain spots, it's really thick, really thick. And at least the canopies of those trees were ready to burn, too, you know, being on the ground 5 to 6 months already.
Agenda today.
But, start in Greenville and head up to Detroit, end up in lovely Knoxville, just up the road. So, not terribly difficult day.
flight back from Knoxville to Greenville?
That's just day one. I go through the week. I go through Saturday. So I do have a Grand Forks overnight, and I hope it doesn't snow. But, oh well, I guess I got to pay my dues.
Nights will be good. Won't be too much turbulence or anything. It'll be uneventful.
I like to use in my, one of my briefings. You hit the nail on the head. As you know, uneventful is good.
Right, especially in your line of work.
I think the weather is supposed to be pretty tame overall. Although I didn't really look that far out, but today doesn't look bad, and tomorrow, but we'll see from there. Nonetheless, you got to work with what you get, right? So, as best you can.
At least if it's raining or storming, you can usually get above it, right? Until you get ready to land.
Everything except the big storms, yeah. Then you got to go around that stuff because you just don't have the ability to get above them. Some of those will be upwards of, 55,000 feet sometimes.
Well, I didn't think got that high. I figured 30,000 was about the best. I figured you could get over all of them.
Well, unfortunately, anything that's, rated as severe, by the weather guys, usually those are topping well over 40 and or higher. The early stages of the cells or storms, are in the 30s. But if they get to a severe level, we've seen them go 60,000 feet, and that's just craziness.
I can't imagine they were that high.
You definitely don't want to fly through because, you could have baseball hail. And radar doesn't detect that very well because it's, it's dry in nature and extremely cold, of course.
But it'd be good hitting a bunch of baseballs doing 500 mile an hour.
No doubt about it. So that's why we go way around them. But good thing is you usually see it. It's storms like that, you usually have a good visibility on most of the time.
In traffic up in the air, they can give you forewarning.
There, that's usually the case, you're right.
When I was flying, it had a phone jack there in the seat, put on some headphones, and you could tune in and listen to the pilot. Help me understand, you're flying along there and all of a sudden he kind of banks to the left and then banks back to the right and you're wondering what that was all about, but if you could ever listen to the conversation, you can figure it out.
Funny, I haven't, as far as I know, those have been all removed. I don't think they have that channel anymore, so to speak, these new entertainment systems, but they got the maps, though, so they got to make sure you go in the right direction because they can watch you in the back on the maps.
But listening to the towers and the conversations and everything, the only thing that scared me is when the tower asked him, when he got turned out there on the runway, could he just go ahead and take off and don't sit there? And I look out the window, it's like, man, there's like five planes stacked up getting ready to land right behind us.
You're right. There's always, especially at nighttime, and they look closer than they are. And, of course, too, there's also parallel runways. They look like they're landing on your runway, but they're landing on the one next to you. So, believe it or not, they got some of that stuff figured out. It works pretty good. That's what makes Atlanta run so well.
Just in one of those smaller jets, right?
All domestic and it's a little bit of Bahamas and the islands and stuff like that, and a little bit of Mexico, but mostly domestic, 2 hours, 2 hour, 2.5 hour flights or less usually.
KN4 GFW.
For ZLE Mobile, good morning, folks.
KN4 TFW.
What? Headed up to 85 northbound to the workplace.
Looks like out there this morning.
bad as yesterday. Yesterday was really thick for some reason. But, typical I-85.
That 5-hour stoppage out there on 85 yesterday, it was a moped out on the interstate. That didn't turn out well.
I forgot about that. I just wonder what in the world they were doing on the interstate on a moped. From what I understand, it can't go at least the minimum. They're illegal on the interstate.
Horsepower, I think a true moped is limited to like 25 miles an hour. You know, anything over that, you're supposed to have a license on that. But isn't it like you got to have at least like 15 horsepower to even be out on the interstate?
I know back in the day, it's like 5 brake horsepower and maximum speed on a moped, 35, but they may have changed it by now. But yeah, I think the minimum on the interstate everywhere I know is 45.
Even have any tail lights?
Not heck, everywhere I'm going, I was like, we ain't running at least 70, you might get run over.
For CEF, mobile.
2KN4 TFW.
WW4JET, Matthew here.
Man, there's more people on than I realized there was. I didn't get here.
Today is my Friday. Be off for my regular 6-day off rotation. And I've done a 24 on 48 off schedule for almost 20 years working. EMS and fire, that was a lot rougher than I realized, but yeah, I do like a 6-day then on and off now, so I like it.
Working the water department out in Colorado, it was 8 days on, 6 days off, and it's like 2 weeks vacation every month, and that was awesome.
It's like a two-on, one-off, two-on, one-off, two-on, then I've got 6 off after that, so it's not too bad, not bad at all. And I can actually change it around if I need to. I have to work at least every other weekend, but the other days I can kind of work around a little bit if I need to.
Weather go away. I thought we were done with this.
More week.
I had all my plants out on the porch, and I've been having to take them in and out every morning. And then bring them back in the evening.
Just have one last little cold snap right before Easter, no matter whenever Easter falls.
As long as it's not a deep cold snap, I would see so many fresh leaves get damaged from, you know, like the ornamental trees, and just a little cold isn't terrible, but when you get a good freeze, that really hurts those trees.
Hey, when they start worrying about the peaches and stuff around here.
Strawberries I'm looking forward to, too.
And I don't live far from Strawberry Hill. We love going up there and getting a big old basket of strawberries.
For HGX.
Go for CEF.
You didn't miss much, but we got a whole bunch of people on here now.
Listening a little bit, what I could hear of it. And I got a couple that lives down at the end of the road. They raise the strawberries up there at the house. It's always nice to ride through there and watch everybody out there crawling around on the ground trying to pick their strawberries.
Farmer, he's got them out, but those are his, I guess they all have connections. Those are out of the northern Florida. So he says the ones up here, I guess, are a couple weeks, should be good to go.
Here, they raise them and then they sell them as a U-pick strawberry patch there, and you'll see all kinds of people out there crawling around on the ground.
Money, I say, would be worth me crawling around on the ground getting strawberries.
And it seems to be like a big attraction up around the house. The U-pick patches, there's strawberries, blueberries, you know, that kind of thing. So they seem to do very well, though. Down there and crawling around ain't necessarily so bad as that doggone trying to stand back up's the hard part when you're doing it.
Grandkids kids are for. Who always a ritual in Michigan doing the apple picking in the fall, but not so much here because it's still like 90 degrees out when you do it here. It's not very fallish because of the earlier season.
That's like during bow deer season, trying to sit in a doggone tree sweating to death. Around here in the southeast is rough. That's why I like to head a little further north to do that. Tied around on the lake during the summertime, it's nice when you're actually moving around, but once you stop the fish, that's when it gets hot. Like too, when we would have our summertime races in this area, in the southeast, but usually in the early spring or fall, but we'd have that one in September up at Z-Max. And it'd get pretty hot up there. Into that one can be a scorcher at times.
To the first couple home games, football games, it's like, oof. Wait till at least mid-October to go to those.
All right, gentlemen, I'm pulling in the parking lot at work, so I'm going to say 7-3. Y'all have a good one, be safe, and hopefully we'll holler at you tomorrow morning. KO4CF, and I'll be clear when you find me.
7-3, Andrew. Have a great day. KO4HK.
7-3, Andrew. KO4TFW.
4ZLE.
Good evening. Have a good one, WW4JET.
How did you get into being a pilot, a commercial pilot?
Orville talked me into it. That's how long it's been. I was working for my dad, and, as a teenager and living at home, that doesn't always go very well. Looked for ways to get out, and I actually took the air traffic control exam back then, which back in those days you did it directly through the government, and I actually got accepted to go to air traffic control school, the first step, but decided I didn't want to do that, and I wanted to fly instead, so that's what where it all started, back in 1982, maybe, something like that.
How you got into that job? It's not something you just woke up and say one day I want to go be a pilot.
Always had an interest, always had an interest, and somebody took me on a Discovery flight, and that was the bug that bit me. Really, did when I went to school, looked at doing the military ROTC thing, but the payback time for a pilot slot back then was like 9 years, so I having started a couple years older, I just looked at other options and was able to get through it, just had some good luck along the way too, with some opportunity, and took a hold of it, and it's been a pretty good fun ride. No complaints, really.
Like I said, I was just curious how you get into a career like that. Most of the time I've always heard it's coming through the military and coming out to the civilian world being a pilot. So I didn't know you could even come out and be a civilian pilot and come into the commercial side.
Good. You got to pay your dues a little bit with tends to be flight instruction. You go into the flight instruction side for a while, and then you end up flying some cargo for some of the cargo carriers to build more experience, and then eventually get an opportunity to get into the airlines when you have the appropriate time.
Same group. He flies somewhere out of Florida. He's pretty young. I want to say he's mid-20s, but he's flying commercial. He's flying like the Learjets and stuff, and he got into it like right out of high school, started learning, and got his license and everything. Pretty cool to talk to him. It's pretty cool listening to you talk about it as well. I flew with a helicopter, not a pilot, but as a medic myself, civilian, as a paramedic. So I love flying, but my health and vision wouldn't have let me get my license, unfortunately.
Very briefly, and I got both sides of it. We don't generally fly with the same crew. The airline's large enough that when you different trips that you fly end up having different crew members on them. Corporate's another way. I didn't mention that earlier. Yeah, you can get into the corporate side and gain some experience that way as well. And it's a different lifestyle. Some people like the corporate side of things. I tend to like the schedule more and a little bit more security in the airline side of things. And then a lot of people stay in the major cargo side, like, you know, your UPSs and FedEx, too. Those are usually pretty secure positions as well. But helicopters are fun. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough to do life flight stuff. That's appreciate you doing that. That's not an easy task.
Worked with several pilots that were Marine Corps. They actually were instructors in the Marine Corps and wanted to teach me and would have. One, I just didn't have the money to get, you know, the hours and all that stuff that I needed. And like I said, my health and stuff, my vision wouldn't have let it either. But yeah, I definitely loved it when I did get to fly with that.
Always the tough part, you know, the return on investment in the early years. I mean, the military helped if you did that direction, you know, cover some costs that way. But if you did it the civilian route, boy, I mean, I've heard some kids getting in there today that, you know, $200,000 in debt, and that's just crazy to me because I didn't ever get to anything like that in my years. But yeah, it could be it that way.
You ever do any ham radio from the airplane?
HT, no, nothing HF. You know, unfortunately, Patrick, that stuff's kind of going by the wayside, too, because the SATCOM is what they're putting in all the new airliners, you know, and a lot of the old 767s and stuff have the HF capability in them, and maybe those old Airbuses, you know, like the A330s and A300s, but a lot of it's kind of sadly going away, and so no, I've never operated the HF from the air. It'd be fun. It would be a lot of fun, actually. Try to make a contact too that way, but played around, dabbled with it a little ST-8 last night and picked up a couple new countries, but still have yet to get the airliner.
Pretty neat to make a contact up that way, but like you say, you don't hear much of it or anything like that anymore.
A couple of conversations that were going on with pilots over the Caribbean, but haven't ever talked to one.
If they have an air-to-air, I'm sure they do, and common air-to-air frequencies they tend to use and try making some contacts that way, but a lot of it will be, you know, the older cargo carriers, too, sometimes, you know, that are using that equipment still. But it, sadly, is changing pretty rapidly in the commercial airline side, passenger side, anyway.
Pulling up here at the hospital. I hope everybody has a good day. And once again, enjoy the conversation. Much appreciated. Everybody be safe out there. KQ4ZLE, clear.
73 Anthony, have a great day. KO4HK.
73 Anthony, have a good one. KN4TFW.
Anthony, good talking to you. Have a good one and be safe. WW4JET.
Hey, Eric, I thought he was in there with everybody.
I don't have anything to say. WTUJKT.
That nerd's in there. I didn't know if you'd got a phone call or something would happen.
Just cruising southbound. Full of trucks.
You keep dodging the trucks and you'll be okay, I hope.
Okay, guys, so I'm going to say 73. Everybody have a good, safe day out there, and I'll catch you guys later. KN4TFW.
73 Ken, have a great day. KO4HKX.
73 Ken, have a great day. Be safe. W2JKT.
Ken, good talking to you again. Have a good one. WW4JET.
In here and grab me a biscuit this morning. I'm a little early since I don't have a tool truck, and I'll be back in a few minutes. KO4HKX.